In a book inspired by her popular TED Talk, New York Times bestselling author Reshma Sajani empowers women and girls to embrace imperfection and bravery. Imagine if you lived without the fear of not being good enough, if you didn't care how your life looked on Instagram, or worry about what total strangers thought of you. Reshma is my guest today with her new book, Brave, Not Perfect, Fear Less, Fare More, and Live Bolder. Fail More and Live Bolder. Sorry about that. I put a typo in there. Welcome to the show, Reshma. There's my bravery.
There's your bravery moment.
Yeah. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing pretty well. We've got lots and lots of snow here and school's closed and that sort of thing, but it's good. It's all good.
That's great. Yeah. We're struggling with a couple of inches, so probably not what you have.
No, we've got about 16 on the ground right now.
So. Oh my God, that's amazing. I grew up in Chicago, so I'm very familiar with lots of snow.
Oh yes, indeed. Especially now, it's been kind of rough for them too. Well, let's get to it. Your book really resonates with me in terms of trying to please everyone. You know, when I grew up, my mom wanted me in cute little dresses that you couldn't get dirty, but my brother, well, it was no holds barred. You know?
It's true. No, I feel like that's what happens, right? From as young as 30 months old, you know, we raise our girls to be people pleasers, you know, like don't take that toy away from him. You know what I mean? Say your please and thank you, you know, give him a hug and let's straighten out your bow and make sure your dress is clean. And, you know, we let our boys just kind of run. I mean, I have a 4-year-old son, and in many ways, he's my little pig pen, right? He's got like a booger in his nose. He had yesterday's breakfast on his shirt, but Sean is like free to be himself.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, if you see a little girl with a booger on her, yeah, nobody's liking that.
No one's liking that. And yeah. I wonder, you know, and I think so much of it is that we feel as mothers that we'll be judged. Too, right? And that they'll be judged. And so I think that perfectionism, you know, takes hold at such a young age. Mm-hmm. And I think what happens is as girls get older, they get addicted to it. And when something doesn't come naturally to them, they give up before they can even try.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And let's talk to us about the myth of perfection.
Yeah, I think people think that, like, if I'm polished, I'll be perfect. So for a lot of women, that's about kind of the way that you look, you know, your hair, your outfit, your weight, you know, it may, you know, for me as a candidate, when I ran for office, that translated into my speech. Like if I gave the perfect speech and I sounded smart, you would elect me. Right. And so this idea that polished is perfect is why in so many ways, if you ask a woman, she'll take 50 selfies before she gets, quote, the perfect one. Right. Whereas a man will take like one because it just doesn't matter to him. And all of this, like all of this, in many ways is creating a lot of anxiety. I think it's, you know, when I am perfect, you know, I will be happy.
Right.
And for a lot of women, it's when I have the perfect marriage, when I have the perfect job, then I will be happy. And so when you have those things that you thought were going to make you happy and you're not happy, you think that something is wrong with you.
Right, exactly.
You know? And I think that one of the third ones is like, if I'm not perfect, everything will fall apart.
Yes.
And so for a lot of women, right, they feel like even the slightest mistake puts everything at risk.
And do you think that that is even more highlighted now in the day of social media and those selfies?
Absolutely, right? You know, they say on Instagram, if you say something negative, it's negativity shaming. People don't like it, right? And they won't respond to it. So, you know, I think that one, even through scrolling through people's kind of Instagram pictures or Facebook pictures, creates anxiety because you say to yourself, well, they look so happy. Like, what's wrong with my life?
Yeah.
I have a 6-year-old niece that if she doesn't get at least 500 likes, she deletes the post. It's almost like the memory didn't even exist.
Yeah, that's wild. By your own admission, your resume, speaking of perfect, is pretty spectacular. But you weren't happy. Can you tell us about that moment you decided to quit playing it safe in regard to your job?
Yeah. So I was about 33 years old, and I had, you know, worked in this. My parents came here as refugees. I've had a job since I was 12. And so much of like my being the perfect daughter was about making sure that I had financial stability. And I thought if I had that perfect lawyer job, that I would be happy. And I remember waking up in this kind of windowless office in New York City at my law, you know, at my firm that I was working at. And I just had this pit in my stomach. And for months and months and months, I had been coming home from work, just sprawled out on the couch. I just hated my job. I hated my life.
Yeah.
And I remember like my best friend calls me, Deepa, and I'm in tears. And she just said, you know what? Just quit. And I'm like, can I do that?
Yeah.
And it was such a liberating moment. And look, I was scared. I had $300,000 in student loan debt.
Yeah.
You know, my parents were kind of, you know, working class. I didn't feel like, you know, I had the luxury to do something that felt slightly selfish.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that being in a job that I hated was just soul crushing. And it was literally killing me. And so I quit, and I ran for Congress because I always wanted to be in public service.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran this race that I like lost miserably, like got my butt kicked. But I felt so free,
yeah.
You know, in those 10 months that I was running for office, because I was finally doing something for myself that was brave.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably wasn't going to work out. And I realized, oh my God, like I could like lose and like, it won't break me. And that was such an eye-opener for me.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and we're seeing more and more now women in the political races and the Me Too movement. And women seem to be becoming more empowered, and yet there's still this, you know, oh, are we allowed to not be perfect? And there's still that thing, and I think that it's a generational thing, and there's always that you have it in your book, and there's a term like, you know, if a woman is brave or does something, oh, she's got balls.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, meaning men.
Yep.
and so how do we become brave like women?
Yeah. So I think there's two great points there. So I think that we have to recognize that bravery isn't like dragon slaying and, you know, saving a baby out of a burning building. Like bravery for us, I think means joy. I think it means doing the things that are going to make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's so interesting about the moment that we're in right now is we're seeing bravery on the biggest stage, right? We now have 6 women running for president.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen women take down these powerful men in these Me Too movement.
Mm-hmm.
But what we need to see is everyday bravery. You know, I was speaking to a group of women earlier today, and I said, how many of you have been walking down the street and somebody bumps into you, but you say, I'm sorry, right?
Yes.
It's instinctual for
us.
Yes. Or how many of you, like me, you know, had a hard time losing the baby weight, and I knew I needed to exercise or do something for myself, but I felt so guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Getting up at 7:30 in the morning when the dog wanted to go out and my baby was getting up, I felt guilty doing something for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, how many of you are in a job that you feel like, about?
Yeah.
But you don't feel like you have the courage to, like, go start looking for another one. I think it's everyday bravery. Those bravery about these small things that when we start having the courage to do something for ourselves or to speak up for ourselves, that's when you're going to see things change.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about running for president or starting a company.
Right.
It's that everyday bravery.
And that is really profound. We are talking with Reshma Sajani. She is the author of Brave, Not Perfect, Fear Less, Fail More, and Live Bolder. And I think that speaks loudly to so many women because, you know, we don't do those big, brave things. I was just at Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota here. I was just covering her announcement out at Boom Island. And, you know, that's huge. And there's lots of people there. But for the vast majority of us, it is those little moments. And you have a lot of strategies in your book. What can you tell us some of those to get past that fear? I have to say, I love your description of the first one, drama versus wisdom, and the analogies.
Yeah, like, I mean, oftentimes it's like you have to ask yourself, like, is it my drama talking or is it my wisdom talking? And this is about, like, should I do something or should I not do something? Mm-hmm. Right? Because oftentimes some of us face these questions like, okay, should I quit my job? Should I not quit my job? Right? And when you're scared to do something, is it your drama talking or is it your wisdom talking? Mm-hmm. And you need to ask yourself that.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite ones is about also, like, how do you practice imperfection? So I think for so many of us to start getting rid of our perfectionism, we have to start being imperfect. Yeah. And one strategy I give people is, you know what, today I want you to send out an email with a typo in it. And women will be like, what? I mean, it's horrifying to us. And every woman I know spends hours and hours rereading, you know, do I have enough emojis here? Should I add another exclamation point? Is there a typo here? And we could be doing something else.
Right.
So start practicing imperfection. Mm-hmm. The second thing I think about is, like, you know, do something you suck at, right? So many men I know will play tennis or golf or basketball, and they're not good at it. They just like to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know a woman who has a hobby or something she does just because she likes it if she's bad at it. How many times, right, have you, like, I'll go to the exercise class when I'm in shape.
And oh, it's like, God.
The point of going to an exercise class is to get in shape.
Yes, yes. And that's so true. So true.
Isn't it so interesting, right?
It really is.
So I think there is something to be said about practicing and doing something that you're not that good at and feeling what it's like to be mediocre, but enjoying it.
Yeah.
And I have those in my life, whether it's, for me, it's yoga. I mean, I'm always embarrassed going into a yoga class because I'm always told myself, well, I'm just not good at it.
Yeah.
But I like it. It makes me feel more relaxed. You know, it, like, puts me in a good headspace.
That's kind of,
you know, do something that you think at.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I feel about CrossFit. I absolutely love being there, but I'm not that good. but I love it and it feels great and they're good people. But that's so true. We're talking with Reshma Sajani. She is the author of Brave Not Perfect. And the other, you have a quote in there. It says, I'd rather be caught trying than not at all. Explain that to us.
You know, I think for a lot of us, we have our dreams, things that we wanted to do, and we talked ourselves out of them, or we let other people talk ourselves out of them, and we let our good ideas kind of die on the vine. And then we see other people doing the thing that we had wanted to do, and we're left with regret and envy, and it eats us up inside.
Yeah.
And so I think it's so much better to try than to not. Because I often think the consequences of not trying, even if you don't succeed, are just much more harsh to our soul and to our happiness and to our joy.
Yeah, that's so true. I love your book. And in fact, we have one of the employees here has a young daughter. She's about 16. And I looked at him and I said, I want your daughter to have this book. And
Thank
he goes,
you.
Oh, that is so cool. So he's really excited to be able to give that to her as well. Brave, Not Perfect. And what might be the number one takeaway you'd like readers to get, if you can narrow it down?
I think it's never too, well, two things. I think, I'm cheating, two things.
That's okay.
I think bravery is joy. This book is not about getting a promotion.
Right.
This book is about living your happiest life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you're brave, you become joyful. And I think when you're joyful, you'll have more success in your personal life and in your professional life.
Yeah.
And I think a second point is never too late. like the practices that I'm talking about, this isn't just about what we need to do to raise our daughters. This is about what we can do as women at every age to live a more brave, now perfect life.
Yeah. It's awesome. And I will admit that when I started doing this show, 15 with the author, I was scared to death because I just thought, how am I going to talk to all these people that have written these incredible books? And it has been a great joy. And sometimes it works out really super well. Most of the time it does. Once in a while, not so much. But this one's been great. And if I hadn't tried, I'd have never experienced that.
You would have never found what is one of the biggest joys of your life.
Yep, exactly. Well, Reshma, thank you so much. Do you have something else in the works yet?
Well, I want everybody, you know, and I know, to read this book and to start practicing the tools that I offer. And, you know, I want to build a bravery revolution. Like, I feel this way about this book the way I felt about Girls Who Code when I first started it. Like, I really believe it can change so many lives and change the world for the better. So I'm really focused on this. I'm so excited about it.
Well, that's awesome. Brave, Not Perfect, Fear Less, Fail More, and Live Bolder by Reshma Sojani. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Take care. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.